Hi, I'm Madonna Guy from New Leaf Natural Therapies, and this is David Scheel, Holistic Counselor.
Hello, everyone.
So we thought we'd chat today about the difference between anxiety and PTSD, because quite a lot of the time
Which
they're
is
treated exact.
post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yeah, they're treated exactly the same by a lot of people, and the treatment is totally different if you get the correct diagnosis.
It can be, yes.
So the biggest, so we were chatting about it this morning because in my world, being a natural therapist, one of the big things is that, of course, we don't diagnose anything.
And
So,
as a counselor, we don't diagnose anything either.
yeah, but people often go to the doctor, and here in Australia, it's often 4 to 6 minutes before someone is given medications for depression, anxiety, stress. So, you know, in 4 to 6 minutes, how much energy do they put into an actual correct diagnosis? And so we thought and the difference is quite interesting when you think about anxiety versus post-traumatic stress disorder.
It's quite important, and not only that, a thing to remember is that a diagnosis kind of goes on your permanent record. And so the main difference between anxiety and post-traumatic stress disorder is because when you go through them, they have quite similar symptoms. And the reason that they became differentiated was that the manual that's called the Diagnostic and Statistic Manual, which is the DSM, it's made by the American Psychological Association, and that explains what all the different disorders that can be made into a diagnosis, how they're assessed.
Yes.
And
And
then
of course,
from,
DM, it's about medication. Like
well,
that disorder book is very much about medication. So if you've got this, you can give them
Well,
this
it's
and
not. It's that's even though that's so essentially, if you each criteria they have different drugs that treat that, and so this criteria, and there's a protocol for each one, so they follow protocols. But the thing about it is that especially in family counselling, a lot of family counsellors, like people like Michael White, famous Australian family counsellor, they say that we don't believe in diagnosis at all, and that diagnosis are, as Madonna just said, they're like a thing that you go, if you do this, you can get this medication or treatment, usually for insurance
or
purposes
government funding.
or government funding, whichever it is. But so the except then the at the end of each diagnosis, it says, because they're basically clusters of symptoms. So the clusters of symptoms, they put them all together and you end up with anxiety or depression disorder, different variations of, or ADHD. But the thing is, down the bottom it says, unless explained better by something else, right? So there's always that loophole that if something else can explain it better, then it's not that. And family therapy often explains things better than that criteria anyway. So, but besides that, the thing is with post-traumatic stress disorder, if you look at the DSM, they've come out progressively over the years. And the DSM-5 came out, I think, in 2013, which is the current one. They're making a new one at the moment called DSM-5-TR. But in the DSM-4, or maybe it was three, I can't remember, but the one before the fifth one, post-traumatic stress disorder was found in the anxiety department of the book.
Right.
And the reason that a change came about was that the Veterans Association in America complained to the DSM people that the veterans weren't anxious, that something had happened to them and now they're anxious. They weren't anxious before they had their experience, but now they're anxious.
Yes.
And that's the essential part of this, because the cause of anxiety is really important. Like, what causes that? And so in the case of post-traumatic stress disorder, there's specific causes, and if those causes are present, it's no longer anxiety. And the causes are specifically, I'll read it from the thing. So it basically says that the person who's the person being treated was exposed to death or threatened death, actual or threatened serious injury, or actual or threatened sexual violence. So threatened serious injury, if somebody gets a serious injury from an external thing and then they're anxious, it now is likely to fall into the post-traumatic stress disorder category rather than the anxiety category.
Yeah.
And that's the proper assessment criteria. But the other thing, it's not only the person. So it's direct exposure or witnessing the exposure. So not only the person who gets the exposure, but somebody who witnesses the traumatic
Yeah.
experience, or learns that the trauma happened to a close relative or friend, or an indirect exposure to adverse details of the trauma, usually in the course of. So if somebody has to listen to the traumatized person, they can get traumatized by it as well.
Because they're all externalized factors.
Because the fact is that it's caused by an external factor, which is really, really important. And then of course that
Right. So if it's an external factor, it's post-traumatic stress disorder.
if
Yeah.
it's threatened or actual serious
Yes.
injury,
And that's a lot of people who have seen that sort of stuff.
it is. And so when you look at the criteria, they're all similar things. So, like in the post-traumatic stress disorder, that people re-experience upsetting memories, nightmares, flashbacks, emotional distress after exposures or traumatic reminders, or physical reactivity. And so you only need one of those,
Right.
right? But a lot of people I've come across with, they have more than one in their category. And that's often. And then one category, one trauma-related thoughts or feelings, trauma-related reminders.
Yeah.
So you just need one of them, not two, but a lot of people will have both of those. And then criterion D, negative thoughts or feelings that worsened after the trauma, inability to recall key features, so memory loss, over negative thoughts or assumptions about oneself or the world, exaggerated blame on oneself or another's causing the trauma, negative affect, affect means emotions, decreased interest in activities, feeling isolated, and difficulty experience positive emotions, positive affect. And you know, and the and this And then the and you need two of those. And then the last one is you need two, which are trauma-related arousal and reactivity that began or worsened after the trauma. So irritability or aggression, risky or destructive behavior, hypervigilance, in other words, on fight, flight, heightened startle reaction, difficulty concentrating, and difficulty sleeping. So the thing is about this is that often people with anxiety have had that in their life at some times. Like,
Yeah.
for example, in family systems, often that's the case in kids' childhood. They feel threatened of a serious injury. Some kids are seriously injured in the home. So the later traumatic effect,
Or they
the
see a parent abused or a
or
sibling
or any of
abused.
those things, they witness it because they found in trauma responses in child therapy, the categories are kind of physical violence, emotional violence, but also it's witnessing violence is
Yeah.
a key factor. And so one of the problems with this is if it's just anxiety without an external stressor, it's fairly easy on everybody around the person to help and deal with it, this and that, because they know that the person has an issue and they know that nothing happened to them to cause the issue.
Right.
Now, the problem is if the issue is ambiguous, like just say hard to prove, or so just say, because it happens a lot that people are, they say something happened and then people don't believe them, for example, and
Well, especially with the medical treatments in the last 3 years, there's a lot of people who are fearful of speaking out because now, if they've been damaged with the medical intervention of the last 3 years, there's a lot of online hatred and trauma that's coming up with people because it's been so awful.
Right, because the truth is about the medication involved in what we're talking about. I personally know people who've been really badly
So
injured,
do I.
right?
And
And
I've been
so, and
treating
you've
them,
been treating them,
absolutely.
and
And it
so.
can create anxiety in me when I know that people are really struggling. So when I see people who have, turbo cancers, and when I see people who are having strokes, and when I see people with blood clotting issues,
Well, there's a whole new type of blood clot that's come up since the
yes,
COVID thing started.
absolutely.
It's
They've been
a, it's a,
talking about it for
not
about
only
2
talking about it,
years.
it's really obvious, and all the morticians have given so many examples of it. It never existed before, like this blood
Yes.
clot that goes all up the vein and they pull them out and they're like pulling out an octopus. And it's actually not that uncommon because
No, it's up to 30% of
it's
people
very
who are,
sad.
it is awful.
So what happens in cases such as this? And there's all types of cases. Like, for example, victims often aren't believed,
Yes.
right? In family systems, like the scapegoat, you just don't believe them in a family system.
I
But
spoke to someone on the weekend whose mother died from thalidomide poisoning.
well, that's
And
very big.
that's the first time I've ever heard anyone say that ever.
But I didn't think they used that anymore.
No. Well, it wasn't
She was
recently.
little when it happened.
No,
Because they stopped using
they
it in the
gave it to
70s.
pregnant women.
In the 70s, it was.
Yeah. So, so it was a long time ago, but
Yeah.
he and I went, wow, I never heard that one
No.
in 30-year career.
No. So the thing about this is that's really important is that if somebody's harmed, and so if the criteria is serious injury, I've seen people with serious injuries from medications, not only the current one we're talking about, but other medications too.
Yeah.
Serious injuries. And you can, and because of the internet, there's people being interviewed all the time about these types of things. So you can just go online and you can see it.
Yeah.
Except the problem is with post. The difference between anxiety is that because the people around the person who are distressed, who got the injury, because witnessing the trauma is a precursor for post-traumatic, the person who's been injured, the people around them react, might get post-traumatic stress disorder
Right.
as well.
So might they might put up their boundaries and not want to hear it or listen to it to protect
That's right.
themselves.
So one person gets the injury. Like, for example, with a medical problem or with a something that is, the problem with that is that everybody will try to, and you can see over the last few years, everyone's trying to cover themselves,
Yeah.
right? So it's like the person who's been injured by a medicine, in this case, serious injury, and some of it's very serious.
Absolutely.
And so it's like, it's like the people around them who are witnessing that are also exposed to the same risk of post-traumatic stress
Yeah.
disorder, because the risk is clearly that witnessing the trauma, so direct exposure, that's talking about the person with the injury,
Yeah.
but witnessing the trauma, so that's the people around them,
Yeah.
and then indirect exposure to the adverse details of the trauma. So people are traumatized by people talking about it.
Yeah.
So you end up with this poor person who's been injured by something, but all the people around them might, just because of the criteria, might have these effects. And even like, because look what the effects are, being aggressive. I've seen people who've been injured and the people around them aggressive towards it,
Yes.
because that's a post-traumatic stress disorder symptom.
Yes.
And so, like everything, all individuals are different depending on their the way they are, the way they deal with things, everyone's individual. But at the same, and also some people with the same trauma get more or less of this. Some people are
Yes.
really resilient and they can go through very difficult things and be okay. Other people are affected more easily. But when you've got somebody who's injured by something and then people are telling them it's not true, it's a little bit like all the sad stuff they've worked out with, because they didn't work with assault or rape,
Yeah.
and how they're just not believed.
Yeah.
And it's the same type of thing as that, because it's still an injury, and often some of the injuries we've seen by medical products are worse injuries
Yeah.
than some of the traditional things that would be considered threatened or serious injury. And so it's like, an instance is I've been hurt by the medicine and then I'm threatened to take it again.
How many people took it after they'd been damaged?
I
You know,
know. And
that
after they'd
because
even
of.
protested and because they wanted to keep their job, they took it anyway. So, in a proper sense, if that person's injured and they're having all these symptoms, it shouldn't really be called anxiety.
Yeah.
It should be called post-traumatic stress disorder, because there's an external stressor causing the thing. And that's how the Veterans Associated wanted it worded, that it's an external thing causing the thing,
Yes.
because the veterans were suiciding because they thought they had an anxiety issue,
Yeah.
right? Oh, you've got anxiety. That's what they were told,
Yes.
like previously, because that's where fit it into the DSM-4,
Yeah.
and they changed it specifically so ex things with external stresses could be dealt with in a separate way because the symptoms are much worse.
Yeah.
Like if people have, because the symptoms are usually worse too, like nightmares and that sort of thing. You don't get so much of that with anxiety, but when something's harmed you, and somebody's harmed you, whether it's like because they were doing the right thing in their mind or not, it's still harm.
Yeah.
It's still serious injury.
I was listening to someone talking about last week the fact that there are two sides of the coin here. The people who are pushing the medical intervention, many of them believe 100% in their gut that they're doing the right thing. And the people who did some research and were aware of all of the trials going on initially and were thinking, hang on, this doesn't feel right, they're being bullied by group number one because everyone's saying, why would you do research? Go listen to your doctor. The doctors were not told. The doctors were not told what is going on. So we're in a really weird position on the planet where, unfortunately, a lot of people are ahead of the doctors because the doctors have been told by their boards that everything's safe and effective and just move forward.
Well, they work with protocols.
Yeah.
So technically they're doing the best they can. Because this is, it's because it's like you said in the beginning with the doctors and you'll see them for 5 minutes and you'll walk out with an anti-anxiety or
Yeah.
antidepressant.
Yes.
The thing is, what they're doing is working on protocols. So they do that stage and then see what happens.
Yes.
You know, it's a bit of a see what happens. But then it's like that with all types of treatment too. With counselling, it can be a bit see what happens.
Yeah.
Because people come in with different clusters of symptoms and you're like, and you want to work on the ones that'll bring it down as quickly as
That's
possible.
right. And that's what I sort of do naturopathically as well, you can imagine. Like it. For those who watch my videos, I'll always start with the survival stuff first, calm that down. But on the other hand, one of my practitioners in my practitioner excellence training, she puts someone's celestial circuit back together, which is basically increasing the energy going through your conscious to your unconscious brain and getting this flow of energy in two major meridians connected. The woman didn't sleep for 2 days afterwards. Now, that is a weird side effect that I've never heard of, but it obviously must have flipped an energy flow in the body that didn't, I certainly have not seen that in 25 years or 20 years I've been working with the celestial circuit. So who knows if you're giving people breathing techniques or, some doing some prayer or meditation therapy or, who knows what it's going to shift. We just don't know until someone is doing those processes in their daily lives.
And all healing's kind of, in one sense, experimental, whatever level you're at, because some things work for some people. Some things that work for most people don't work for a small amount of people.
And that's why we say we have a practice because we're practicing. Oh, only joking.
That's funny. But
And
then,
patience, need to be patient.
funny the language.
Ha.
But sorry, what was that last thing? It's oh, some people are different. And then another thing that's about all medicines. Most people, what's okay for most people, some people have severe side effects.
Yeah.
And that's still like would for a severe from a medication, still should be if the depending on the situation, it might be because there's an external cause for it.
Yeah.
And so I always like to look at that thing, is there an external cause or is that person have some natural anxiety? But there might have been some people might have a traumatic response from things that happened in their childhood. Or so sometimes you can find the source of the
Yeah.
original anxiety, and that's more, much more helpful if you can get to the bottom of
Yeah.
what's actually causing the symptoms.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's especially when we're going in the whole naturopathic thing, if you sort of have some symptoms of, some trauma going on, where was the first time people felt that? So doing that timeline therapy with people can be really powerful,
Well, that's it.
because some people feel like they've been anxious their entire lives, in which case it may come from the womb or from an inherited pathway that's been overly taxed stress-wise as well.
Because when you do trauma counseling for family issues and upbringing, and family issues, sibling groups often stay the same as adults as they did in kids in pecking order and everything. You go down and like if one symptom might be What was one of the, a fear of abandonment, right? What you do is you actually go with the person, you go down to the first time you felt that.
Yeah.
And it's really, and so that's a constant. When did that first happen? Because if there was a, like people have a bit dysregulated families,
Yeah.
I mean, everyone's a bit dysregulated, but some families resolve things, but they find in traumatic families, they're less likely to resolve things. They just want to move on.
Right.
And so, but going down and finding those original things. Oh, and the reason I said that is because often if people come from more dysregulated family systems, then the dysregulation often happened before the memory started.
Right.
So, so your first memories of it will only be probably, 2 to 3.
Yeah.
But if you can find out, there might have been something before that.
Yeah. Yes.
Because before 2 years old is when the really early parts of
Our
our
lizard
brain
brain's
do.
still working. All
But
those
it's.
primitive reflexes are in control.
Well, they are in control, but the other thing is in a functional environment that's really caring, and these lower parts of the brain develop really well. The neuro, because they're all neurological and they become strong. And
Yes.
when there's trauma or loss or neglect or even, it's like those parts of the brain don't develop as
Yeah.
well. So they have weak, because what do they call those little the neuro?
We need neurogenesis to happen.
Yeah, and so they can inhibit those parts. So it's going back to them where you can actually remember and work on those parts,
Yeah.
because the body, like you were saying about in kinesia, the body stores everything.
Yeah.
And it's only in the last 10 and 20 years that they've really discovered how much it stores in the body.
Yeah.
And especially distress like this will often be stored around the vagus nerve, which is the nerve that actually it goes around our heart, around our stomach, and goes around all of it. And trauma seems to be collected in that. So if you do feel, you can always look up online how to retune your vagus nerve.
Yeah.
And that, and they're normally things like breath work and learning ways to relax and grounding, learning to ground yourself,
Yeah.
that type of thing. So much information available online now for the people and
Absolutely.
help themselves and get up to date on what might be actually happening with them
Yeah, beautiful.
before they take that step of going and seeing somebody.
Yeah.
It's good to be armed before you go see a therapist.
Yeah.
Like I'm really into if someone has a thing, well, educate yourself. There's so much online, spend a few hours watching some videos to try to like really pinpoint where the thing that's causing your trouble's at.
Most people don't want to do that.
Don't they?
No.
Bit of three.
Yeah. People are
Okay.
funny.
All right.
People are funny.
I was telling my counselling supervisor that I sent my clients videos,
Yeah.
and she thought that was great. Counsellors don't often do that. I'm like, well, educate yourself on it,
Yeah.
because it's like then you don't have to pay for me at that time, and in between sessions, you can learn so much,
Absolutely.
and especially if it's one of your kids, it's good, just say you've got a kid with ADHD or something. It's really good to learn a lot about it because these things are really complicated,
Yeah.
and any type of anxious thing, they're complicated to bring back.
Yeah. Beautiful. So, yeah, just a really quick overview of anxiety versus PTSD. How interesting is that? I sort of it's really interesting because from a, once again, naturopathic perspective, we don't diagnose any. People often come into me and say,
People come into counselors with their diagnosis, but the other thing is that we can look at them and give them a referral to
yeah.
say a psychologist or a pediatrician, because we can at least find out what the updated thing is, so they can get an assessment if they need one.
Yes. Yeah, for medications
For
or
medication, also you might get
funding
government
or,
assistance if you can get a diagnostic if you've got a really bad problem.
yeah, absolutely. Excellent, everyone. I hope you enjoyed that. Talk again soon.
Thank you again.